Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley Davidson North. Kansas City's biggest selection of brand new 2021 Harleys are here now at I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Last seconds will tick off and a terrific performance by Marquette out of the Big East. Coming on the road and beating North Carolina 83-70, a game that the Tar Heels led 2-0 and never led again.
If you told me we're going to lose, hell yeah, we wouldn't have played the game.
Roy, what are you doing?
Opinions and criticism were like noses or rear ends. Everybody's got one.
And now, wondering why we don't do program picks after the games are over, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petra on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a chilly Thursday before the warm-up comes around. We're going to get a little more warm weather coming our way this weekend, I do believe. Looking forward to that, at least on Saturday. Going to be in the 50s, some 50s next week. So hopefully the chill of winter is going away. We'll try to knock away that chill with some nice, refreshing sports talk radio. That's what I ask my kids when we get in the car. I said, hey girls, would you like to listen to some nice refreshing sports talk radio? And like I get to hey girls and I get no. Right, so that's just how it works. Well, tough. So dad makes a living. You will listen to every word and you will enjoy it.
You will listen to every word I have to say.
Yep. And then the screaming and the crying and you know. But listen, they got to learn at some point, right?
Yep.
We're going to talk some NFL football, the big story that's going around today. I can't tell if there's a lot of juice behind this or if it's just a slow time of year and so everybody's going to write something on this. Like, is this just what I would call the echoes of a story? Yeah, okay, we know Russell Wilson has said it's not in my hands. It's in Seattle's hands. But now I've seen stories that have now changed even the teams that he would be traded for. He's got a no-trade clause. Read a story early this morning that had the Dolphins, Jets, Saints, and Raiders on his list. Just read a story that came out a couple of minutes ago. They say that list is Saints and Raiders are correct, but Cowboys and Bears are the other two. By the way, think about the receivers, or at least the offensive firepower, on the Saints, the Raiders, the Cowboys. That all fits, right? Like you see firepower, right? Waller and Jacobs in Vegas, Mike Thomas, Alvin Kamara in New Orleans, Zeke Elliott, 88, the Oklahoma kid. What was his name? It's on my dynasty team. I don't know. I can't remember.
Andrews.
Oh, for crying out loud. No.
On.
No. The OU kid that was a first round pick last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn it.
I can't think of his name.
Can't remember his name now. Anyway, along with, there's plenty of firepower in Dallas. But the Bears, what's the firepower in Chicago with Allen Robinson being a free agent?
Not so much.
That's the one that maybe he just wants to get to a bigger market. Maybe he likes Matt Nagy, Andy Reid disciple. So he's thinking, okay, I'll go there and I'll I can play just like Patrick Mahomes.
CeeDee Lamb.
Anyway, that's the big story today. What's that?
CeeDee Lamb. I just saw it.
CeeDee Lamb, yes, thank you. That's the big story today is that, Russell Wilson's maybe shooting his way out of town. We're going to talk to a guy who wrote a great story on it, Mike Sando from The Athletic, who is an NFL writer, writes about all of the NFL, one of their senior writers there. And I've talked to Mike a number of times at the Super Bowl, sat and perhaps even had a Corona or two with Mike at the Super Bowl. For the towns that are wise enough to have a lounge for us to enjoy an adult beverage on the NFL, I always like those towns way better. It's just, they're better people. Tip of the cap to Houston, who brought that back. Cheapskates about 6 years before that. They weren't having it anymore. But they brought it back. Didn't have it in Miami, though. Miami can stick it. Anyway, we're going to talk to Mike Sando. He's got basically the blow-by-blow. You know, we've heard this. We're like, well, the Seahawks are never going to get rid of Russell Wilson. Well, his story has got a blow-by-blow of how Russell Wilson has gotten sideways with the Seahawks. And I think this is important, as I've said, you know, along the Deshaun Watson side, you know, the Chiefs organization, you know, in all likelihood, Patrick Mahomes' career will outlast Andy Reid. Can we agree to that?
It better. Yes, I think we can. Well, if it doesn't, something's gone horribly wrong.
I don't know about horribly wrong. I mean, if he played to 35 and retired, I mean, I know now guys are, you know, we got Tom Brady playing to 43, but that's not the new norm.
Right.
I think it'll outlast Andy Reid's. Maybe by a long shot. Maybe Andy Reid hangs it up after next year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's going to hang it up this offseason and hand it over to Eric Bieniemy. I don't know, but I don't think so. But my point is, I think this is one to take notes if you're the Chiefs organization, how to keep your quarterback happy. And so we're going to talk to Mike Sando about it. I think it's pretty interesting. You know, what got him sideways with that organization. Stuff the Chumps coming up at 3 o'clock. Peter Yates, Enoch, Todd Lebo will join us. It's your opportunity to win that wonderful Cajun food to Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Blair Kirkhoff with us in the 4 o'clock hour. Much to discuss. Les Miles, I'll give you some thoughts, not really an update, just some added thoughts. I don't think there is an update. I don't think there is anything to update. Just some added thoughts after, you know, poking around, talking to some folks, some other things that have come to mind on that here in a minute. But we'll talk about that with Blair Kirkhoff, as well as the Big 12 finishing off their schedule. The NCAA today announcing how they're going to do it if they have a COVID interruption in the NCAA tournament. We'll discuss that with Blair Kirkhoff. Get you the things you need to know, and we will talk to Alec Lewis in the 5 o'clock hour. You know, he covers the Royals for the Athletic kids. So we're going to talk to him about the Kansas City Royals as they continue to get ready for the 2021 season. You know, now I'm torn with all the, like, we're going to talk to Mike Sando. We'll just save the Russell Wilson talk for then?
Yeah.
What do you think, guys?
Works for me.
All right, let's go with Royals then.
Let's
do a Royals sandwich today. Royals at the beginning and the end. Well, it's been a little bit. We laid we laid things out back at like 11:30. We got done laying things out. So then more stories have come out and all that. I'm like, now I'm hesitating. Like, is that fair? Yeah, we'll go there.
We'll start with the Royals and their many uniform number changes.
How many do they have?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wow.
Duffy, Junis. Kelvin Gutierrez, Dozier. It looks like Taylor's wearing a number that was last used by somebody. This is a fun little story, but some guys are changing some numbers around.
Okay, all right. I want to start with some comments made by Buster Olney. One Buster Olney this morning on the Border Patrol. Correct.
Yep.
Is that where they were made?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Number one for you, Jed. Let's hear what Buster Olney, always a great segment with the guys on the Border Patrol. He was in, drew a distinction between Mariners CEO Kevin Mather and Royals GM Dayton Moore.
For years and years and years, we've to draw out another metaphor, we always heard the rats in the corner, right? The lights are off, but we hear the rats munching, and we know they're there. And what Kevin Mather did the other day was essentially be the guy to turn on the light and go, hey, we've got rats in the place, when he essentially admitted that the Mariners were manipulating service time. So what he said wasn't shocking at all. Everyone knows that it goes on, but he said it out loud, and it absolutely speaks to the distrust between the Player Association and Major League Baseball right now. And I'm sure you guys saw the story where the Mariners' best prospect, this great young outfielder named Jarrett Kelenic, came out yesterday in an article in USA Today and basically said, look, I know they're manipulating my service time, and here's the great thing. Since I'm speaking to you guys in Kansas City, Dayton Moore can go through his, he can move forward and field today like, I never handled it that way. I never handled Hosmer that way.
Yep.
I never handled Moustakas that way. I tried to win. I acted in good faith with all these players. And so if you're a Royals fan, you are immune from this conversation about how your team's handled young players.
Nate Buchady there, making sure we don't get a clean soundbite. Thank you, Nate. With his yep.
Damn him.
In the middle of it. Damn it, Nate.
They added a lot, though.
It did. It was like a big exclamation point. How about that, Royals fans? You can hold your heads high because Dayton Moore does not hold salaries down, hold prospects down in an effort to manipulate service time. You get to hold your head high. How did that feel, to hold your head high? How does that feel? Does it feel better or worse than watching a winning baseball team? Anyone?
Oh, I thought you. I was laying out for.
No,
effect.
I am letting it marinate. Now I'm giving it to anyone. I was letting it marinate. Yes. But does the ability like let me you fly to San Diego and you're wearing your Royals hat and you get off. Somebody goes, "Guy, your team sucks." But do you hold your head high because you haven't messed around with anyone's service time?
Seems unlikely that would be the case.
You see what I'm getting at here? Like, what value? And this is not to pick on Buster Olney. Buster Olney's right. I get what he's saying. Hey, the Royals are not a team that does this, right? I thought he had a wonderful analogy about, you know, we hear the rats in the corner. We haven't seen them because the lights aren't on, but we know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great way of describing, like, look, we know teams do this. We know this is what's going on, right? Just nobody's actually gone on the record and said it. This is the first guy to do it, and it cost him his job. So that being said, my point here is, what, as a fan, do you really care? Does it make, you know, a 100 loss season feel any better a couple of years ago? Like, are you like, okay, it's okay, you know, it's fine that we're watching, you know, this, you know, what, 59 and 103 season in 2019, following up a 58 and 104. Like, does that make you feel any better?
No,
it doesn't. So, I mean, I get what Buster Olney's saying, and that's great. That's great that it draws the accolades of Buster Olney, one of the most respected voices in the game of baseball. But at the end of the day, as a fan, do you think Astro fans are getting off the plane with their head down and not willing to look anyone in the eye because their team, you know, messed with service time or banged on trash cans? No, I don't think they care. I mean, there's probably some that are like, well, that kind of sucks that we cheated. That kind of taints things. But for the most part, I guarantee you in Houston, they don't care. So here's the point. You know, by doing that, by not manipulating service time, right, by not playing that game, which, you know, he said they didn't do it with Moustakas, they didn't do it with Hosmer. Okay, that's fine. They got up pretty quick. They both came up after tearing the cover off the ball in the minor leagues soon after the season began, and what would have been if they didn't have to get sent back down, but would have bought the Royals an extra year. I'm not 100% all in on the fact that the Royals aren't very aware of the service time game and aren't to a lesser extent than maybe some, certainly a lesser extent than the Mariners, but I think they play that game too, right? I think they're aware of how that goes on. But let's give Buster Olney's statement the fact that he's not saying that for the most part, right, that they're better than most teams, but let's just take it to the letter of the law that they don't ever do that. It should they be celebrated for having the third worst winning percentage since Dayton Moore took over? Like, this comes down to the question that we ask all the time. Which would you rather have? Consistent kind of, you know, good play but never great? Or would you like to be great for a year or two if you had to suck for 14 other years? Because that's really been the story of the Dayton Moore era. It's a window. It's a window of success that runs from 2013 to 2018. Right? Or excuse me. 2018. Is that right? No, not 18. 17. 2017. got to get my thing on the line. 2013 to 2017, which they won 86, 89, 95, 81, and 80 games. Should be pointed out, the year they won 89, they won an American League pennant. The year they won 95, they won a World Series. Right? Like, Dayton Moore is coming around, it seems, to being, you know, more willing to spend for on-base percentage. Maybe he needs to come around to playing the game of manipulating service time. I mean, listen, if Brady Singer says, I'm not signing in Kansas City, and he leaves 5 years from now because he got a full year of service time for 60 games last year. Let's keep in mind, the Mariners are the bad guys. They're the ones that everybody wants to get down on right now, and it's the Royals that are being celebrated. But 5 years from now, when, what is it, Kinnick? Is that the kid's name, the outfielder that's at the center of this with the Mariners?
I think that's it.
I think it's,
sounds
it's
similar. That's the name that Buster just mentioned there.
I haven't gone through the prospects yet for fantasy baseball, so I'm not as their names aren't, and as we know, I'm not good at names anyway, but their names aren't pounded into my head right now. But when he's still playing and still under team control for the Mariners, and if Brady Singer is now pitching on a contract with the New York Yankees, are you going to celebrate? Are you going to hold your heads high because the Royals didn't play the service time manipulation game? Because I'm not. Like, I don't really give a crap about whether or not service time gets manipulated or not. What I care about is watching winning baseball. And I expect my organization to do everything they can to create a winner and maintain a winner. I am not interested in winning organization of the year votes from the MLBPA and minor leaguers. I appreciate it. I appreciate the humanity of what that organization did more than people can possibly realize. Not cutting salaries, not furloughing people, keeping all their minor leaguers. That's top shelf stuff. But you have a collective bargaining agreement for a reason. It establishes what the rules will be between organizations and clubs, how it will work with player contracts. That's what it's there for. And if the players don't bargain in the payment of players based upon when they're brought into the organization, that's their fault. And I don't see where one GM needs to rectify what he sees as a mistake in the collective bargaining agreement, that he has to be the white knight for players. His responsibility is to the Kansas City Royals and to the Royals fan base. Now, I am absolutely willing to listen to, we are a better organization, an argument that states, we're a better organization because we don't do that. Guys want to play here. We have a better chance to re-sign guys. We have a better chance to get free agents. I'm willing to listen to that. I'll listen to it. It's going to be a pretty tough sell. It's going to be a tough sell that the Royals not manipulating service time is what's going to get a guy to come to Kansas City on a $50 million contract rather than a $55 million contract with somebody else. I'll listen. I'd like some names of where it's won out. I think there's no doubt that the Kansas City Royals win the office to work, best office to work at award at, from minor league players, from young players. There's no doubt. I think it's a great place to come up and play baseball. But I'd be careful about celebrating the fact that the Royals don't use a resource that's at their fingertips. You're in the get-it-right business. You're in the win business. And, yes, the World Series, wonderful. And I'm content. I am content with what's been accomplished. It was a long time. It was a lot of wheels spinning to get there. But ultimately, the prize was realized. And I have confidence that Dayton Moore is going to take another quality run at it. I do. I believe he's putting things together in the right direction. All right? But I do think that just as the Royals proved that it was impossible to win when you spent $7,000 in Latin America over the first half or first five, six, seven, however many years it was, Buster only again breaking that story back in the day, that they'd only spent $7,000 in Latin America. Well, we're not going to just throw around money to 15-year-old kids, 16-year-old kids, and we're not sure if they're going to be any good. We're not wasting that kind of money. We're going to show this industry the right way to do things, and they didn't do squat. Manipulating service time is how you put together a winner. It's one of the ways that you make sure that you can control talent for as long as possible. If they rush Bobby Witt Jr. up to the big leagues and get that service time ticking, I better see him sign long-term. If Brady Singer's the guy, he better sign long-term. Otherwise, all you did was shorten your window of success. Because I do not believe that the Kansas City Royals can be above 500 for 20 years. I don't think they can do it. I think there'll be a step back to take two step forward moment for this organization. I think all small market teams are going to have to understand that. I think the Cardinals have been incredible at what they've been able to do. If the Royals are willing to splash around money for the Arenados and the Goldschmidts, the way the Cardinals have been able to do and been willing to do here for years, then yes, maybe this can be maintained. But until I see that, there are going to be times that you have to step back to take two steps forward. Well, I'd like to not have to do that sooner rather than later. I'd like to have the best chance at winning it all. The World Series, the two World Series, frankly, are the only things that make it okay. Curtis, you made a great point. If they don't score four runs in the eighth inning of Game 4 in Houston,
yep,
are we okay with what Dayton Moore has done?
No.
I mean, I don't
Less.
Think the town is.
Less.
I don't think two playoff appearances yeah. with one World Series loss. We'd still be talking about sending Alex Gordon to this day.
Yes, most definitely.
We'd be preparing the reunion, the seven-year reunion of the 14 team that almost won. I will say this, though. Is there optimism in your fan base, right? So if you're the ownership – and you're saying, okay, is Dayton the guy for this team, right? Is he the guy we want to lead us? I think you can look at it and judge it by what the fans think is coming, right? Are the fans bought in?
Yep.
I asked the question today. The Royals, over the next 5 years, are going to play what kind of baseball? I said, pulse check on the Royals and Dayton Moore. 13-18 was the last contending window. Moore has had 2 years to build the foundation of the next wave. Many games... how many games do you expect the Royals to win the next 5 years? Notice 405 and 405 would be 500 baseball. If anybody didn't want to do the math. Here's the expectation of the next 5 years win totals that I got. 250, I'm assuming a joke. 600, again, I'm assuming a joke. That's 120 a year. 250 is 50 a year. The more realistic ones, 438, 540. 100 and what, 8 wins a year?
Seems unlikely.
Seems unlikely. 450, 90 wins per year. 425, that's 20 games over 500 over 5 years. 416, 350. Royals weren't anywhere near competing in 2017. Drafts from 10 to 16 ensured that. They've also ensured multiple 100-loss seasons since. 435, 440, steady climb over the next five, starting at five games under this season. 430, 375 or so at best. 457, 475 wins, mostly because we got different owners. 300-ish, I have zero faith in Dayton Moore's ability to draft players. 425, 430, 420, 370, 415, 435. For the most part, I think most people are on board that things are going to get better and this is going to be an above 500 team for the next 5 years.
85 wins seems to be the sweet spot for those numbers.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they were in that five-year run before.
Yeah.
Right? That's what that five-year run before ended up netting was about 85 wins. There was a 95 in there. There was an 89 in there. But there was an 80, an 81, and an 86. Was it 86 or 87?
86, the year before they went to the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah, so that roughly is going to average out to about 80, 85, to about 85 wins. So you're looking for basically a repeat of what happened before. You know, I think the pulse of the fans is some are questioning it, but most feel like good days are to come. But, you know, the service manipulation game, that's great that they're getting an attaboy. They're still in the win business. And you're only going to get to keep calling the shots if you're winning baseball games. 913-810-810 will open up the phone lines. We're going to talk some football with Mike Sando coming up a little bit later on. A chance to take a couple of your calls coming up next. 913-810-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Arrogance may not be a uniquely American trait, but I must say you do it better than anyone.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk some football here in a minute with Mike Sando. Does a great job covering the NFL for The Athletic. Going to talk about what's going on with Russell Wilson as the Las Vegas Raiders, one of the potential landing spots for Russell Wilson. And it, at least based upon the kind of chatter that's going on today, seems like there's a lot more to this than people thought, that it's not just he's kind of miffed, that he's been upset since the middle of the season. So we'll check that out and get Mike Sando's thoughts on how that works. As I mentioned, he's based up there in Seattle, so that's where he you know, he's got a great knowledge of what's going on with the Seahawks, as well as covering the entire NFL for the Athletics. So we'll do that coming up next. 913-810-810, the phone number, 913-810-810. We're talking about what's going on with the Kansas City Royals and, you know, the service time issue. You're in the get it right business. If the Royals win, then everybody's going to be thrilled. But it is kind of sobering. I mentioned this the other day, and I'll mention it again. Is it not a little bit shocking that, you know, the Royals have the third worst win percentage in baseball since Dayton Moore took over?
It is, simply because I think when if someone said that, or if you said that and someone didn't think about it, they might think that includes those early 100 loss seasons, but it doesn't. You know, it comes in after, at the very end of that, and just has a couple. I think that speaks to something I think you mentioned earlier in the week, that it's really difficult to offset a 100 loss, any 100 loss season, much less a couple. So that puts you in the hole right away, but it also highlights the fact that it's either been pretty good or pretty bad, and mostly it's been pretty bad, except for that little pocket. It wasn't like they messed around at 475 for 5 or 6 years and then suddenly caught fire. It came out of nowhere, was strong, and then went away almost immediately.
Three winning seasons.
Yeah.
Three winning seasons.
In what?
14 years. 14 full seasons. Got better in 2006. They were 14 and 43, I think, or 44.
Yeah. I think you said 14 and 43.
When he took the job, and they finished 62 and 100, so they went like 48 and 60 something. I mean, they got better, but it was still a losing record that year. So if you want to say, you know, during his in all the seasons, including the half season when he took over in 2006. They've had three winning seasons in 15 years.
Which is why when he said the other day, you know, it's always trying to win, and it's the only way we know how to do it. I thought, should it be the only way we know how to do it? I mean, it's an honorable stance to take, and your fans go, yeah, my guy is always going to try to win. But there should be, you should have another way you can do it.
Well, so
or else you better win every year.
So let me put this out there. Dave hit me up on Twitter. You can follow me at Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. He said, please give an example of how the Royals rushed someone to the majors and service time hurt the team's future. Adalberto Mondesi. At no point, not any of his minor league numbers ever said that he warranted a move up, yet they kept moving him up without ever actually succeeding. Now, they would tell you and have told us on the radio that they know when a guy has mastered the level, and they don't have to just have him pile up a bunch of positive stats. They want to move him on up to keep him challenged. That's what they would tell you they did with Mondesi.
Right.
Okay. Outsiders would look at it and say, you kept promoting a guy who didn't deserve it. You jammed him up to the major leagues. And now he's going to turn 26 this year, and he's in his first year of arbitration, and you have only two more years of control. So are the Royals going to win a World Series? Are they going to compete for a World Series in the next 2 years? I hope so. If they don't, and then they watch Mondesi sign with the Yankees or the Cardinals or the Rangers or White Sox or Dodgers or any big market team for an amount that they can't handle. And we've watched Adalberto Mondesi hang on, what's his 260-something on base percentage and win no games because they felt the need to jam him up. Are you satisfied with what this organization will have gotten from Adalberto Mondesi?
No.
Because I'm not. And as far as the, you know, they don't play the game of service time, ask Whit Merrifield if they play the game of service time. Yeah. And ask Whit Merrifield if you can get him under Truth Serum, if he enjoyed being told he was coming up to the big leagues in 2015 and then told, nope, it's not going to happen, and Mondesi to be brought up in the World Series and to make his debut in the World Series and have a World Series ring in 2015 when Whit Merrifield had absolutely destroyed the numbers of Mondesi to that point. I rest my case. We'll take a break. Mike Sando's next.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Tell you the truth, this guy's starting to get on my nerves.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't even know what that is. The Program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us. Here on a Thursday, let's talk some football. A story that we're going to find out. One of the guys that is on top of it has great information about it. He always does a great job writing about the National Football League is Mike Sando from The Athletic. He's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs is Hog Heaven. Best selection of Harley Davidson motorcycles in the Midwest is right now at Worth. Go see him. You can shop online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Mike Sando, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Welcome to our T-Mobile guest line. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing very good. Great piece you wrote today on the Russell Wilson thing. Really opened my eyes. I've kind of just been poo-pooing the Wilson part of the equation about maybe there being a trade because I felt like, well, what does he really have to be upset about? And actually, even after you read your story, some people may say, well, what the hell does he really have to be upset about? Maybe he's just a whiner, which I'll get to here in a minute. It seemed like Deshaun Watson had declared war, but Russell Wilson was just kind of a, you know, maybe a crossed arms, but they would eventually kiss and make up. You detail blow by blow what happened during the season and how the relationship deteriorated. Let's start there. How bad is the relationship between Russell Wilson and, say, Pete Carroll, and then Russell Wilson and the rest of the Seahawks organization?
Yeah, I think it is worse than we anticipated. I think it's gotten worse today, you know, just with since our story came out. If you look at Adam Schefter's Twitter, he's got a couple of followers there. And the agent for Russell Wilson came out and said, yeah, we didn't demand a trade, but if we were to be moved, we'd only go to these four teams. I mean, I can't remember that. Can you imagine? Just think of all the great quarterbacks that have played getting to that spot. So I think we're in a place now where you could see this leading to something, you know. If it was not this offseason, maybe it's next. Maybe there's other implications of, as far as salary cap or money or what picks or who Seattle could get to replace him. But I think it is. It's clearly an issue. There's clearly some problems here.
And it's a very detailed account that you give, but just the Cliff Notes version for folks that haven't seen your piece yet of how what it was that he wanted and didn't get and why he's frustrated now?
Yeah, I think I would say this safely. We would not have written this story today without what Russell Wilson said right after the Super Bowl in criticizing the offensive line and his protection there and going on Dan Patrick's show and going on the Ellen DeGeneres show and really himself saying things. Now, I live in the Seattle area, so do the other writers on the piece. So we've been following a little more closely behind the scenes, and we know there's been some of this friction, and obviously – there's a gap between how Russell Wilson sees himself and what his aspirations are for greatness and having power within an organization versus how the team wants it to be. And so when you go look at his own words after the Super Bowl, he was talking about Tom and LeBron, right? Tom Brady and LeBron James as examples of what he aspires to in terms of their impact. Well, that's not happening for him in Seattle. And who's standing in the way of that, I guess, in his mind? It's Seattle, right? They're not putting the line in front of him. They're not, in his words, you know, giving him as much say as he would like in personnel. So that's kind of where we're at for a team that, by the way, the last 4 years has won 9, 10, 11, and 12 games. They've gotten better every year.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I can't tell in this piece, and maybe the question is an overarching one that I'll ask you in a second about, you know, are quarterbacks becoming more divas or are owners becoming dumber? Like, when you made that statement, could you imagine this happening, you know, the Colts and Peyton Manning? We know that came down because of injury and they had an opportunity to get Andrew Luck, but can you imagine, you know, the situation where the star quarterback just says, you know, in the prime of his career, right? Not Joe Montana with Steve Young over his shoulder, and it looks like they're finally going to take the job from him, and he says, okay, it's time for me to go. You got to trade me someplace where I can go win. Are quarterbacks in general just becoming more empowered? Is it a product of how much they're paid? They're really the one position in football that's paid like baseball and NBA guys who generally have much more clout and say. Is it a product of that? Why are we seeing so many more outspoken quarterbacks? Quarterback or bad ownership?
Oh, I think we've always seen it to some degree, right? Elway's not going to play for the Colts, right, or whatever, or even Eli Manning, right? We've seen the flexing occasionally. I don't remember, you know, I've been covering the league 20 years and I guess following it for 40, you know. I don't remember this many situations like this where, like, Deshaun Watson just signed a deal in September and is now refusing to play for the team. This is sort of like in every 10 years, a Carson Palmer type thing, right, where you get sideways with the organization. Look, most quarterbacks would dream to be in Russell Wilson's situation with the way they do consider his input, you know, when they bring a free agent to town or that sort of thing. And he's got a good coach, and they win. So that's new, and I think the money is part of it. The stature now that they can enjoy and – you know, is there the social media component of it, all of the way these guys can cash in on their profile? I mean, maybe that's some of it. We're not seeing it by everybody, but it just feels like even Carson Wentz, who didn't play well, kind of let it be known he didn't want to play for the Eagles anymore and got out of there. You know, it does feel different. I'm not sure we have 100% reason why or it's going to be a big trend, but the money is huge, and I think we can't overlook the role that plays. Russell Wilson's made $50 million cash the last year and 30 before that, the year before that. So maybe you get in a position where you can do these sorts of things.
Yeah, and we'll see. And are the Seahawks likely to – are they tired of him? Like, is the feeling mutual? And is he kind of a – I mean, you could read this and come across and say, wow, Russell Wilson's kind of a baby.
Yeah, absolutely. You could – you know, I think they would love to just be going forward with Russell Wilson as their quarterback and not have a big story out there, not have to deal with it, and just move on with a really good situation. Like we said, they won 12 games last year. They had a bad second half of the season offensively. I think they would just like to go forward with it. Now, yeah, are they frustrated, you know, with this is being made a big deal? I'm sure, but I don't think that's – teams are frustrated with players all the time. I mean, I don't think it's – I don't think they're to the point where they have to get rid of Russell Wilson. But if it's going to be pushed and the agent's going to give teams, you know, what's notable here is they haven't come out and said like Green Bay did. And Green Bay said, well, after Aaron Rodgers sort of stoked it a little bit, you know, by saying, oh, who knows where I'll be, they came out and said he's not going anywhere. Well, Seattle hasn't done that. So that component of it makes you think, yeah, you know, until they say that, right, anything could be possible.
And you're right, Pete Carroll has a great formula and has been a winner. And you mentioned in the piece that he's won 9 games or more every year that he's had Russell Wilson, been in the playoffs every year but one. That's clearly a great recipe. Early on, when Russell Wilson was on his rookie contract, a very cheap third-round pick rookie contract, they parlayed that into 2 Super Bowls. But as you pointed out, haven't even been back to the NFC Championship game since. So, you know, is Pete Carroll wrong in his approach to wanting to play defense, run the ball, and not turn it over? Is he stuck in the past that he's got a great formula to beat the bad teams that everybody gets to face, you know, at least a handful, maybe half your schedule is mediocre to poor teams. He's got a great formula for beating them, but clearly a flawed formula for winning in the postseason, at least winning in the postseason with an expensive quarterback where you can't just, you know, overload the talent around him. Is he to blame partly for this? Yeah. And does he need to wake up to that fact?
Yeah, I think it's a fair criticism to say that Pete Carroll has not been on the cutting edge offensively and that they could have done more offensively to be enterprising, you know, certainly along the lines. There's a gap between what they've done and wanted to do through Pete Carroll and what Andy Reid's doing. I mean, there's no question about that. As far as the formula and all that being broken, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think Drew Brees has been there with a great offense and offensive coach, and he's got one Super Bowl, and it was like in 2009, you know. Aaron Rodgers has won one Super Bowl, struggled to get back. It's hard to do, right? The Chiefs are going to find out, too, over time that, you know, once you're not able to pay as many other players on your team just by the nature of what your quarterback's making, it's hard to get back, and it's hard to get back anyway. Tom Brady went 9 years without winning one. You know what I mean? So is that a Pete Carroll flaw? I mean, I have a hard time with that, even if we agree that, you know, they probably should have been more creative offensively, as Russell Wilson's been able to handle more.
The list of teams that you mentioned, the tweet that the agent sent out, Saints, Raiders, Cowboys, Bears. The first three, I see a lot of firepower there. I don't see it with the Bears. Any idea why those are the is Chicago's a big market, Dallas is a big market. You know, is that it? We got a couple of big markets. We got three teams with weaponry and they all, you know, theoretically have a quarterback question. Dak Prescott, right? They could just pull the tag off him if they made the deal, or even throw Dak Prescott into the trade and make it part of the deal. Is this just them designing a what they think is best for him overall, marketing as well as football?
Yeah, I don't know why you would limit the number of teams. I mean, maybe these really are the only teams, but Dallas, you can see America's team, America's quarterback, right? You want to have a big brand and a big stage and the best stadium. That's pretty easy to see. The Saints, you get the marriage with Sean Payton, and maybe, you know, he's always, as you said in the story, Drew Brees and Derek Jeter are two people that, in particular, that Russell Wilson wants to emulate. So you get to go beat the next Drew Brees. And by the way, they've done a nice job with their offensive line and having big guards and guys who can create a pocket for a shorter quarterback in Brees. So that could make sense there. The Raiders have John Gruden, who I think is a very good offensive coach, and it's also Las Vegas. So if you're looking for a little bit of limelight, certainly he's married to a world-renowned entertainer who's a much bigger star than he is in Sierra. So maybe that would have some appeal. Chicago, I'm less sure of that. I mean, it's a great city, but it's harder to find the exact reason why that would want to be it. I mean, he went to Wisconsin and it's close, but I can't imagine that's, you know, he can come back for Alumni Day whenever you want. I'm not sure why it would be Chicago, but look, I love Chicago. You know, I mean, I would love to be wealthy in Chicago, you know.
Yeah. Mike Sando's with us. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If an orthopedic or sports injury puts you on the bench, the same experts that care for the Royals can see you quickly. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. We'll go quickly, Mike, just a word or two in answer to this. How many championships for Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, okay. I will say three championships.
Okay.
Is that too few?
Where does Russell Wilson play? Yeah, where does Russell Wilson play in 21?
I will lean towards Seattle. I will lean towards Seattle, yeah. I'll take Seattle over the field right now.
Okay. Best food to eat while watching a game?
Wow. I just think of a Kansas City steak being on with you guys. I love it. I love the grilling, the smoked meats and grilled meats for me.
I'll take it. And finally, do we have full stands in the 21 season, at any point during the 21 season, maybe not to start, but before it's over, do we see full stands?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm optimistic. Yes, I'm optimistic, and we've been burned before being optimistic, but I feel it. I think we've got these vaccines going, and we're going to get there.
Very good. Mike, we appreciate it so much. Thanks so much for the time. Keep up the great work. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
You too. Thank you so much. Yep.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, what pitcher did George Brett face the most times without getting a hit? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.